Cambridge Breakfast.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Cambridgeshire Police are about to introduce their Christmas drink and drug drive campaign, cracking down on those driving under the influence. Nathan Taylor-Alkins is here from Woodfines Solicitors.
Good morning, Nathan.
Thanks very much for coming in. I guess the sensible advice might really be to have a Diet Coke or an orange juice, but what are the rules when it comes to drinking if you're even contemplating getting behind a wheel?
Well, you're absolutely right. That has to be the number one message, is if you have any doubt and if you're intending to drive, just don't consume any alcoholic drinks. Obviously, in England, we don't have a zero tolerance policy.
Because they do in Scotland now, don't they?
Don't believe not in Scotland.
Not in Scotland,
it's
still, okay.
No, it's a lower limit than in England, but it's not a zero tolerance policy. So the legal limit in the UK is 35 micrograms of alcohol in 100 millilitres of breath. There's other rules in relation to urine and blood. Mm. I think.
Now, they don't sell drinks and those sorts of measures, do they?
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's the issue. According to looking at Twitter this morning, an insurance company has done a survey and they said 9 out of 10 drivers don't know what the drink drive limit is. And I think the biggest issue is because there isn't a zero tolerance policy, not that I'm saying that there should be, but because there isn't one, there's a lot of confusion and misconception as to how much you can drink before you are then over the legal limit. It varies from person to person in terms of weight, size, age, stress levels, medication, in terms of how that alcohol is absorbed. So there really is so many different variables out there. In terms of the message and the law, that has been the case for a number of years. There's been drink drive awareness campaigns since the 60s, I believe. And whilst the message from Cambridgeshire Police has definitely got to be a strong one, it very much comes down to that personal choice. If you are going to be driving, you need to make that decision. Mm. Is it worth risking my licence? Is it worth putting other road users at risk? And obviously the other legal implications that can arise from that as well.
I guess in terms of the alcohol content, like there's not much of Lucy, for example, so I guess that you'd be well and truly over the limit quicker than, it's not necessarily that much, not that much of me either, quite frankly, but somebody, say, of larger build who might be able to, their metabolism, I guess it would be able to deal with it a lot easier.
Definitely, but it is a science. There are experts that we've instructed many times to deal with that particular issue. But with drink driving, you don't have to intend to be over the legal limit. Mm-hmm. If you have consumed alcohol and that level of alcohol in your system is over the legal limit, if you're stopped by the police and if you have to go to the police station and give 2 evidential samples, if those samples are a fail and show the level of alcohol is too high, then that's it. There are potential defences and potential legal arguments, but it very much does vary.
It's interesting. I was breathalysed a little over a year ago. I had an accident I've told listeners about this times, I think, before, on the Regent Street, Hills Road Junction. Dawdling over at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and somebody comes the other way and decides to turn rather than going straight on, hits into me. Now, I'd had one glass of wine, was it 1.5? Doesn't really matter. I'd had that about 5.5 hours prior to that. And, of course, not unreasonably, the police say, well, you know, we need to breathalyse you for this. So I blow into the bag and I was as nervous as anything, even though I was fairly confident that was out of the system by then. But I guess there can... there's a certain amount of nerves about that, isn't
100%,
there?
100%, yes. And I think one of the biggest things is to... from a legal point of view, is to make sure that you're as cooperative as possible with the police. If you have medical reasons why you can't provide a specimen, or if you're struggling, or if there are nerves and issues, explain that to them. The worst thing you can do is to clam up and to become uncooperative, because there are offences of failing to provide a specimen and things of that nature.
You could be fine on the drink driving issue, or having the correct amount of alcohol, if that's possible. But actually, then find yourself in trouble because you've refused to blow into the bag.
That's
or whatever.
Exactly right. And whilst you're entitled to a solicitor at the police station at any time, you aren't entitled, or the police will not allow the breath test procedure to be delayed. So you can't say, I don't want to provide a specimen until I've spoken to a solicitor, because they will say, well, we'll take that to be deemed as a refusal.
Right.
And so then that you can then be in real difficulties.
Do you get many calls from people over Christmas period? You know, either from clients or from, I don't know, maybe just friends saying, we've got a problem here, Nathan. Help me out.
In all honesty, this isn't just an issue relating to Christmas. Drink driving is an issue throughout the year. Of course, the Christmas period does bring with it Christmas parties, it brings with it overindulgence. Mm. And again, particularly an issue I think the Cambridgeshire Police and nationally are going to be picking up on is the issue about the next day driving. But very much do get queries. Obviously, people, whenever you get involved in a legal scenario whereby you have to go to court, it brings with it a tremendous amount of stress and anxiety, uncertainty. And for drink driving particularly, it's an automatic loss of licence, so for at least 12 months if you're convicted, potential imprisonment for the very worst cases, job implications, potential notification to regulatory bodies and things of that nature. So there are big, big implications. So I fully understand people wanting to get advice.
Mm. I noticed police have also started to add in drugs into their statements and warnings. It's described not as a drink drive campaign, but a drink and drug drive campaign.
Definitely, it's becoming more and more prevalent.
This obviously high kind of drugs rather than a paracetamol you might have taken to dispose of the headache.
That's right, but even still, prescribed medication, if you're taking that against doctor's advice in terms of being able to drive, so there are...
You do see it. Don't drive, or this may cause drowsiness or that sort of thing.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So the best advice if you are on any medication, sort of legal drugs, is to get that particular advice from your GP as to whether or not you are permitted to drive. And obviously illegal substances, they're able to test at the roadside now in relation to cannabis, and again the implications if you are caught are severe. You don't have to have your driving to be impaired anymore. There used to be in relation to drug offences, they had to show that your level of driving had been impaired. They've removed that now, so it very much is, again, if you are over that particular limit whilst you're driving or having been in charge of a vehicle, then you are looking at very serious consequences.
And do they get that information as well from the same sort of, I say blow into the bag, the little sort of electronic device?
There are roadside tests that they can do, and then obviously they can do then blood tests thereafter at the police station.
What about bicycles? Because around Cambridge, I can imagine the scenario. In fact, I seem to remember sort of coming home from London rather tipsy and decided that actually maybe cycling home wasn't such a good idea after all.
No, it's a very good point, and I appreciate how regularly used bicycles are here, which is fantastic in terms of the environment. You're very right that there is a particular separate offence for driving or riding a bicycle, whilst under the influence and whilst being intoxicated. In terms of how the police would prove that, there are particular issues about that, but it does go hand in hand really with inconsiderate riding or dangerous riding. So the message from me very much is that if you are trying to get home, public transport, taxis, make an alternative arrangement with a designated driver, things of that nature might be preferable rather than trying to make your own way home on a bicycle.
You know, that sounds like a pretty good plan. Just as an aside here, one tends to see some cyclists these days on their mobile phone making calls. In fact, I saw one yesterday, and he was zooming. He was doing quite well, actually, one-handed phone call and also going in front of one car and changing lane to another all at the same time. And now, you could say that was highly skilled. You could also say that's pretty dangerous.
They are, of course, a vulnerable user of the road. Cyclists do not help themselves by putting themselves in even more of a vulnerable situation by multitasking, as it were. Very much so. If they are being a danger to other road users, then...
So is it, I'm just of interest, is the offence using the mobile phone, or is it being careless as a result of using the mobile phone if you're cycling?
I would imagine it would be in relation to the latter,
right,
in terms of the careless, this inconsiderate riding, rather than necessarily... I can certainly follow up with you in terms of a specific law.
I guess one does kind of lead to the other on that.
Obviously, mobile phone use whilst driving a motor vehicle is a massive issue, and that is something that, obviously, 6 penalty points if you get caught doing that, and that is something that the police are, of course, trying to crack down on as well. We seem to be getting a lot of more inquiries now from dash cam footage, where people are actually posting that and sending that to the police, whereby that then gives the police that evidence to try and then go after the driver.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know the new chief constable has made some remarks about the use of dash cam footage, so they could be sort of... Cambridgeshire police at least weren't quite as keen on using it in the past, but he seemed to be indicating that that might change in the future. Fascinating, Nathan. Thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
To chat to us about that. Come back. We could pick up some of those issues there some other time, I think. Nathan Taylor-Alkins from Woodfine Solicitors, and that takes us to 8:22. Cambridge 105 Radio.